We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Meditation Studio, the 5-star app, and Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate. I'm Patricia Karpis. The Muse headband and app can help you start a meditation practice or deepen your practice. And the Muse S was specifically designed to give you lots of meditations, visualizations, and features to help you sleep better. All great stuff. Check it out at choosemuse.com. If you're looking to be more motivated, energetic, and focused, this guest is for you. Ben Angel is author of Unstoppable, a 90-day plan to biohack your mind and body for success. His program, which was featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, is designed to help you feel better physically and emotionally using a blend of neuroscience, psychology, and biohacking. His goal? Find your way to peak productivity. His 90-day challenge has you looking at all of the influences on your energy. He shares how uncovering his food allergies and making some changes in nutrition had a huge impact on his overall well-being. And he says, our brains and bodies are like machines, and they work much better when well-oiled. You'll hear how he challenged himself and others with his biohacking tools in his 90-day plan. Now, here's Ben. Ben, it's great to have you on Untangle today. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my absolute pleasure. I'm excited to speak with you.
It was really fun to read your book, Unstoppable, a 90-day plan to biohack your mind and body for success. There's some really interesting gems in there. And I wanted to start the conversation by asking you, what was your inspiration for writing this book and for coming up with this 90-day plan?
Yeah, sure. So it really came about as really a moment out of necessity. I'd just been traveling around the US for 3 months as well as Canada, and I got back home to Australia and suddenly I was struck with depression, fatigue, anxiety, and stress, which were very much out of character for me. Now, in the past, I've experienced depression, but I always kind of knew it was from the psychological standpoint. So I could apply those strategies of the peak performers, the psychological strategies, and that would help me shift out of it. But this time, it just did absolutely nothing, and I was getting significantly worse. And after a couple of weeks, I mean, at that point, I've always been very active. If there's a problem, you solve it. I grew up on a cattle and cropping farm in Australia, so I've always been in the mindset of, you know, you toughen up, you just do what you've got to do. But what I found is, despite eating a meal plan that was designed by a nutritionist, working out 6 days a week, having one bad cheat meal a week, and that was pretty much it, going to all the doctors, I really wasn't able to move the needle at all. And March of 2017, it just progressively got worse to the point that I was thinking of taking my own life, which I'm sad to say, but if anyone's listening to this, please get help immediately. I was really faced with a reckoning, and that was, do I have to give this up for the sake of my health? Because I'm having to nap 3 to 4 times a day through chronic fatigue, and I simply can't focus and do it anymore. And I came up with this insane idea, which was to pitch to Entrepreneur Magazine, who I publish weekly video content for, to write a book about going on this 90-day mission to biohack my way back to health. I said to them, there's one caveat. I don't know what the final chapter is going to be. I don't know if I'm going to be successful or not. So they kind of fully jumped at the project. They loved the idea and they were willing to take that risk with me. So It was really out of necessity, and the whole biohacking mission really represented a paradigm shift that was years in the making for me and tested everything that I knew about mental health. Specifically, there was really quite a reckoning to go, you know what? If you were to take a peak performer and deplete them of key nutrients such as vitamin D or even magnesium, they would eventually become depressed, potentially suicidal, they'd experience apathy, they just wouldn't care. And I thought, then why doesn't self-help work for everyone? And in the past, it has worked for me, but in this particular instance, it didn't. And that's what really led me on the journey to ask better questions of different people.
In the book, you talked about the fact that you felt sick and you had brain fog and a lot of allergies. And just yes. Growing up, you had all of these different physical and mental ailments. What was your progression as a child? Did your family or your parents help you get better? Did you just always feel like horrible when you were in grade school and then in college? And I want to lead up to this sort of trigger breakdown when you felt that you wanted to take your own life, but I want to understand, how did that all begin? And when you did feel the way you felt when you were younger, is that when you started on the self-help journey?
So growing up as a kid, it was very much my teenage years that I was experiencing a lot of tiredness. So if my brother or my dad were out working around on the farm, I was inside watching TV or, in fact, writing music, which is what I used to love as a kid. But it really prevented me from getting out there socializing. I never did any sports. I just didn't have the energy for it. And working through all of the experiments in the book, I can see that in hindsight, there were a few key events that had occurred as I was a child that impacted me later in life, especially around food sensitivity and gut health issues. And one of the first ones was, as a child, I had quite a few ear infections, so I was given quite a lot of antibiotics. Now, as we know, antibiotics take a scorched earth approach to our gut microbiome. Now, we see all of this research is coming out almost every single week at the moment, connecting our gut to our brain health as well as mental health. In fact, I believe it's in China at the moment, they've developed a psychobiotic, which is a psychological probiotic. So it's designed to change an individual's psychology through a shift in the bacteria within our gut. And it's been proven effective with children with autism as well as depression. And what I'm now realizing later on as an adult, before things really escalated for me, I had had a course of antibiotics because I, once again, had a severe sinus infection. So despite the fact that I was eating healthy, I just simply wasn't absorbing that nutrient. And there was one particular study that came out after I wrote the book, which showed that individuals with depression typically had lower levels of a particular bacteria called bacteroids. Part of the problem I've also found is that my increase of Ventolin use, especially over the summer seasons, also coincided with depressive episodes. We kind of ignore the fact that some of the medication that we can take can change our behavior.
what even gave you the will to want to finding the solution for all of this? Because when you feel as depressed as you felt, it's so hard to take action.
I think it's a couple of different things. I also think it's a cultural growing up in the environment that I did. You just keep pushing through. Yeah. I also think people respond to depression very differently. So for me, outwardly, I would always appear fine, but behind the scenes, I was only able to work for 2 to 3 hours each morning where I had some cognitive function happening, but it was always after lunch that it was 2 to 3 naps and I was pretty much a write-off. I was still producing videos for Entrepreneur Magazine, but to make sure I sound okay on camera, I would slow down the teleprompter, then in editing, I would speed myself up so I sounded normal.
Wow.
We do these different things. Everyone's so different. Some people just can't get out of bed. I could, but it really was that necessity that I did want to get answers. And the factor of the matter that helped a lot was I signed a contract with a publisher to get healthy. I think it was an entirely different level of accountability. I'd made a promise.
And was Dave Asprey the first kind of person that you talked to? You've interviewed something like 10,000 people to look at common patterns and behaviors and solutions. What was your process for that?
Yeah, so Dave Asprey, I had come across his book called Headstrong when I was going through this period back in Australia. And I'd heard his personal story of him experiencing severe fatigue, falling asleep during meetings, and I saw how he was biohacking his back to health. And I actually, at the time I was in Australia, I'd never met Dave before. I just pitched the idea that I want to find Dave, sit down with him and interview him. But it was quite a lengthy process. So it wasn't just the 90 days. Before that, there was probably 4 to 5 months from when we had the get-go from the publisher of research that needed to be done. And I was still struggling at that point, so that was only a couple of hours each day that I could really put my head into gear to work it out. During that research process, before I wrote the book, I wanted to get more statistical evidence to find out what others were really struggling with, to know where to focus the content around. So initially, we did a survey of 2,000 people. We've now surveyed over 18,500. And we asked each person online 30 different questions. And they're not the typical questions. So they're questions not just around mental health in general. They're also, do you have a purpose in life? What is your energy like during the day? Do you experience food cravings? Do you have any gut health issues, diarrhea, constipation, the like? And through those 30 questions, what we actually uncovered was that close to 50% of the population is struggling with overwhelming stress, brain fog, depression, digestion, and food cravings. I'll explain why food cravings are really important a little bit later on because it's quite fascinating. We also found that 75% experience brain fog, which is a huge number. So for those people suffering with brain fog, it's where you can't think. If you're trying to read something, you can't read for very long. It doesn't make sense. Your brain kind of can't link everything together. We also found 82% procrastinate. 82% are easily distracted, which is why I love the Muse device. 62% experience inconsistent energy during the day. And 58% do not wake up feeling refreshed. So taking these statistics, I was able to also evaluate myself against how I was feeling, how others were feeling, but it also helped to guide where I needed to research, who I needed to interview. Just throughout the process, I interviewed neuroscientists, doctors, biohackers, clinical social workers, nutritionists, naturopaths, as many people as possible to ensure that the book was as comprehensive as possible.
Were you surprised by some of those statistics or did they confirm what you already believed?
I think initially looking at the statistics, they were quite shocking to me to see how many people were truly struggling. But it also confirmed to me that in this process and in this journey, which was another reason to keep going with it, was I needed to share my own journey to help these other people get to the root causes of their own rights.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. We talk about these often on Untangle. When we keep things bottled up inside, it can start to impact our health mentally, emotionally, and physically. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest, whatever it is. If this sounds like you, and it's a bit of all of us, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule and needs. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now, over to Untangle.
How are you able to distinguish between what is psychological, biochemical, or physical? How did you distinguish between mind and body and spirit?
Well, I had to look at it from two perspectives. The first one is the psychological perspective, which is very much the traditional self-help model, that if someone is procrastinating, making excuses, then typically the self-help gurus would say, you've got a weak mental mindset, you need to toughen up, you just need to get it done. And that's what I initially believed. And there are certain, obviously, psychological traumas that lead to a whole host of biological events that diminish our health over time. And it's important to note that the biological side and the psychological side, they're two different sides of the same coin. Doesn't matter which one is facing up, one impacts the other as the other impacts the first. So, for example, with the psychological side, how that impacts our body, it could increase cortisol levels, which disrupt our hormones, increase food cravings. We may experience weight gain and a whole other host of mental issues related to that alone. And on the biochemistry side of things, is this particular depressive episode for me was very different to the ones I'd had in the past. So in the past, when I was 23, my father passed away from a brain tumor, brain cancer, quite suddenly. So that depressive episode is clearly psychological trauma, without a question, but it also had physiological implications. In this case, I couldn't actually do the psychological work because my brain wasn't functioning properly. If we blame everything on a lack of willpower, a problem that occurs, and I was interviewed by a psychologist and a doctor a couple of months ago, and she said she sees it with her patients, is that if everything's blamed on a lack of willpower, a mindset, a lot of self-blame happens, and that is really disempowering for the individual. Because if we look on the flip side, the biochemical side, there are numerous factors that mimic psychological disorders, such as food sensitivities, toxins, mold exposure, side effects from medication. Now, side effects from medication are well reported to change behavior significantly. There are some medications, I believe it's for restless leg syndrome, which increases an individual's desire to gamble and go and have risky sex. So it was really important for me to look at this from both sides because I had to ask the question to myself, why is it that I'm applying the same strategies that I've applied for almost the last 15 years? They've always worked. I've written 3 books in the past. I've spoken on stage in front of thousands. I've had all this energy and cognitive function, and these strategies are no longer working. And it was because I was looking at one side of the coin and not considering the other side of the coin. Part of this project, I had to look at not only my own biases in terms of how you treat depression, anxiety, and stress. I had to look at the biases of the medical professionals and the biases of the self-help industry. And if you were to go to each one individually, you will get some answers. But the problem is, and I've spoken to a clinical social worker about this, and she experiences this all the time, is they all operate in their individual silos and they don't communicate with one another. That's one of the reasons why I came up with a new formula for approaching it, to make sure that we are looking at both sides of the coin to make sure we're not missing a damn thing.
This is also why you like functional medicine too, because it looks at the whole mind and body systems and how they interact with one another. It's so interesting that you talk about the shortcomings of each of these, like the therapeutic, the medical, the self-help. Each of these communities or industries just look at a situation through their own lens, which may block their ability to see what's really happening with a patient or with a person.
Yeah, and that's what I uncovered, because I went to numerous doctors back in Australia, in Adelaide, New South Wales, as well as Melbourne, Victoria. And what happened was they kept on running all of these different tests and the results always came back as normal. Mm. And it wasn't until I came over to the US and started doing research, and I was lucky enough to interview the medical director of Everly Well. So Everly Well is a lab testing company. You order the kit online for different tests. You send a blood sample, then that sample goes to the same labs that doctors use around the country. So I interviewed Dr. Mara Francis and I asked her the question. I said, you know, all of my test results kept coming back as normal. What is this normal range based on? Who is the demographic for this normal range? And she said the traditional medical guinea pig is a 70 kilogram white 30-year-old male. Now, if we look at the demographic of the general society, that doesn't make up all of society. And what I found through asking that question and looking back through my previous test results is that, say, for example, vitamin D and its deficiency is also linked with depression, anxiety, and stress. And I found that even though I was in a normal range for vitamin D, I was at the very bottom end of that normal range. But despite that, because I'm of a different age, I could have still, and I was still experiencing symptoms from that deficiency. I also found out that I was at the bottom range for thyroid. So I was very much on the verge of having to take thyroid medication for the rest of my life, which I was able to prevent through working with a functional doctor. So it's important that if people are struggling with mental health issues, and they keep on getting those normal results back, go back to your doctor or get them to send you the results and ask the question, am I at the top or the bottom end of that normal range? Because if you're at either end, high or low, you could be experiencing symptoms. A functional doctor may look at that and say, actually, we need to take preventative steps right now before this escalates even further. And to me, to be honest, that was one of those aha moments that I went, holy crap, this makes so much more sense. That it's important to ask those key follow-up questions that we just don't think of asking.
Yeah, you also talked about in the book how sometimes people are just so used to not feeling well because maybe they just think that's the standard. And this is how all people, you know, we're all tired or we're all busy and all of this. So do you think that's what holds people back from making changes because they don't know that they can possibly feel better? And if that is the case, that's where the biohacking maybe comes in, because if you can have a little like window into feeling better, that might give you the will to make some of the bigger changes, which I think can be really daunting for people to change habits.
One of the issues that we're now facing, and this is quite a concern for me personally, I think we've got an epidemic on our hand that's just not been addressed. There have been studies that have come out of Canada and other locations around the world showing, because of our industrialization of our food industry, our soils are becoming depleted in natural minerals. Take magnesium, for example, and magnesium deficiency is also coincides with depression and a sense of apathy. So we kept getting told the advice that we balanced meal should be enough. The research that's coming out simply doesn't support that notion anymore. It may have supported that notion about 50 years ago when it wasn't as industrialized. But if we also look at suicide rates and depression rates that are spiking and going through the roof year on year, I do believe that it slowly crept up on us. So it's slowly become the new normal. And like you said, people just don't realize that they can feel better because they may not remember what it's like to feel great.
I think this might be where it gets a little bit confusing. You do so many things in your 13-week or 90-day process, from nootropics to vitamin to changing your diet to, you've got psychological hacks and meditation and there's so many different Maybe talk about what you think is the best way to start a process for feeling better and what will have the biggest impact on your overall health and energy. And then we can get into the, once you feel better, these are the other things that you can do.
Sure. Well, I think the first place to begin is a self-assessment. And then the second place is all of the different hacks. So what I want people to do is, because we're on audio, I don't have visuals, but I want you to look at your mobile phone, for example. So if we think about mobile phone as an analogy, we use it during the day. Typically, we wake up, it's fully charged, it's good to go, it's performing as it should. We can use all of the different functions on it. As the day goes on, the phone begins to go flat, and eventually, in most new phones these days, there's a power-saving mode that automatically comes on. And what that power-saving mode does is it starts to switch off some functions in the background, so the phone isn't as fast as what it was at the start of the day. Now, if we use this as an analogy for an individual, we're not that much different. So throughout the day, our energy levels fluctuate up and down throughout the course of the day. And what coincides with that is also behavior change. So at the start of the day, our identity type, we may be up, fired up, focused, good to go, but by mid-afternoon, we hit a slump and our identity has gone from a peak performer into a professional procrastinator and we can't get anything done. And if we look at us as an individual and imagine that we have a battery that needs to be recharged every single day for psychological as well as biological energy, but we break this battery up into four different levels. So the four different levels represent a different charge. Say, for example, at the top of the battery, you have people that are fully charged. They have 75 to 100% energy. What I call these people are catalysts. Now, in doing the survey of over 18,000 people, we actually found out that only 6.7% of people are catalyst status. So they're fully charged. Their energy levels are consistent. So a very small percent of people actually are peak performers currently. Then below that, we have, when your battery starts dying down a little bit, your energy is between 50 to 75%. We call these people synergists. So a synergist is very close to being a catalyst, but they're also on the cusp of running their battery too low and running out of energy so they can't focus on all the tasks for the day. Rational thinking is still relatively good with a synergist, but it's also a little bit on the cusp too. Now, synergists actually represent 43.4%, which is a good sign. Obviously, we want more catalysts, of course. When our energy dips below a 50% threshold for peak performance, we really start to switch on our primal mind because our energy is going low. Just like a phone battery, how it goes into power-saving mode, we go into what I call self-preservation mode. And that's when your primal brain switches on and it has to prioritize vital bodily functions over any goals or any projects you have going on in your life, because those goals and projects now represent a safety risk. It's life and death when the primal mind comes into full gear. And that's why a lot of people, if their energy dips below 50% and they hit that benchmark, and I want people to think of it like this. Imagine you're driving up to a T-junction. You have a choice. You can go right or left. Say, for example, you want to turn right because that's your soul's purpose. That's where your goal is. You need to turn right to make those things happen. But when your primal mind kicks on, it's actually forcing you to turn left for rest and recovery. So you're stuck at the T-junction wanting to go in two different directions. Your conscious mind is trying to fight your primal mind's basic instinct for survival. And that's where we see that incongruency where people are doing all of this self-help. And it's like, I want to reach this goal. I know I can reach it, but I just can't get my ass up off of the couch. And I don't understand why. So just to recap, at the top of the battery, we have 75 to 100% charge. They're the catalyst peak performers. Under that 50 to 75% is the synergist. Under the 50% threshold, 25 to 50%, we have the guardians. So the guardians are really trying to guard what little resources they have left. And this is where we start to see a lot of different behavior changes. So it could be procrastination, excuses, side effects such as brain fog, as well as food cravings. So they're really struggling to get their energy high enough to make sure that their brain functions how it should. So someone who is a guardian will struggle to do the psychological work because their brain just can't process it. It's right. Too much. And the other problem in telling a guardian to toughen up and get it done, that they simply do not have the energetic resources required to make that change. And any of that psychological work is going to deplete them even further, as specifically key nutrients such as magnesium has been found to become depleted when people apply a lot of willpower. Because willpower is finite. It's only good for short bursts at a time, but you simply can't run on that for the long term because people will become burnt out. Now, we did find that 44.4% of people are guardians and 5.5% are defenders. So the defenders, the 5.5%, that is really that situation where they need external assistance and they need external support. And that makes up, it's almost 50% of people under that 50% charge in their battery. That makes up a large portion of the demographics of the 18,500 people we surveyed. And one thing that we really don't factor in now is that when we look at recharging that internal, that life battery, the self-help, if we focus on that, it's all about the psychological work. But it's hard to recharge that, the biological side of things, through good nutrition, and also identify, are there any nutritional deficiencies that are mimicking psychological disorders such as depression and anxiety? Maybe that's the trigger for the mental health issue. Maybe it wasn't a psychological trauma, but it's important to factor in both sides.
So you start with the self-assessment so that you have awareness of what is going on, and then you start getting into the hack.
One thing that we need to also consider is, I want people to think, another analogy is the light on your mobile phone. When it gets dark, you want to turn it on so you can see a path forward. Now, when that battery starts declining because it uses up a lot of energy, things start to go dark and you start to trip over things, which is very relevant to what we're like in life. So for us to be able to reach our goals, overcome procrastination, overcome excuses, we need to be recharging that battery on a daily basis through good nutrition, biochemistry, as well as psychology, and that may include spirituality and religion for some people. But it's just to make sure that within looking at this new framework, we're not just putting too much emphasis on one side of the coin to the detriment of the other.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
Let me ask you a question. What is a day in the life of Ben Angel look like? So you wake up, you've been through the whole 90-day process. Do you wake up and meditate, have bulletproof coffee? What does the day look like for you that gives you your best feeling of health and energy?
Yeah, so when I typically wake up, the first thing that I'll do is I can't have coffee because I have a caffeine sensitivity. And I found out that that's one of the triggers for my depression and fatigue, which
okay.
kind of shocked me personally. Right. And we can talk about food sensitivity shortly too. After a black tea, they kind of wake me up. I have a couple of spoons of L-tyrosine to really get my energy flowing for the day. I'll head to the gym. After the gym, I'll have a healthy smoothie. So it might be almond milk, blueberries, some almond butter to really get my brain going. I'll do all of the hard psychological work first thing in the morning before I've hit decision fatigue in the afternoon. That could be advertising, writing, doing video scripts, responding to emails, different major projects. In the afternoon, I've always kept my afternoons as kind of the creative time. And that could be other writing or researching or other major projects that we're focusing on. I tend to have lunch pretty early, around 12 o'clock each day, and then I won't have dinner until 5 or 6 in the afternoon. But I'm more focused on a plant-based diet now. I do have meat occasionally, so I'm not strictly plant-based. But I've found that was one of the shifts that I made to really increase my energy, to wake up my brain. So I now have the energy that I had in my early 20s when I was feeling my best.
What has the biggest impact on waking up your brain?
Sure. Well, actually, one thing I forgot about my daily routine is after I get back from the gym, I'll typically do a 10 to 20 minute visualization or a meditation using the Muse device. When I do the visualization, I visualize my day unfolding, what I'm doing throughout the day, all the key projects that I have to tick off my checklist to through to the end of the day, through to the end of the week where I've achieved all of my goals for the week. I'll rewind it, fast forward, rewind, fast forward, rewind, fast forward. You do that quite quickly. Now, I've been practicing this for over 10 years and it's an NLP practice. But what I find it does is it tricks my subconscious mind into thinking I've already done all the major projects. They're already checked off. I managed to get through them perfectly with great focus, great energy. So when it comes to doing the actual project itself, I'm able to really drop in the moment without having to convince myself to do it. I find the days that I do that, my productivity is through the roof. The days that I don't do that, I'm scattered.
Right.
Just not as productive. And what I believe occurs is I'm giving my brain a roadmap for the day. And without that roadmap, you could go down 1,000 different paths, but you may not even take one step on any one of those paths because you're not really priming your mind for what's to occur and what you need to get done.
What is your thought on why having a purpose in life is so important for us?
We actually found that people with purpose are 70% more likely to reach their goals. In doing the research, I didn't want to just look at how purpose impacts our ability to be productive. I want to see how it affected our body. Now, what we found is people with purpose are 31% less likely to be afraid of failing, 35% less likely to doubt themselves, 23% less likely to procrastinate, and 34% more likely to have the stamina required to reach their goals. Now, there are two types of purpose. There's hedonic, which is based on how often an individual felt happy during the day, and eudaimonic, which is derived from having a purpose beyond self-gratification. So eudaimonic purpose has been found to decrease activity in the region of the brain called the ventral striatum. So this helps to inhibit the amygdala, which promotes our fight or flight response, resulting in a calmer and more focused individual. So when we look at purpose, we need to ask ourselves, is the purpose that we have all about self-gratification or helping other people achieve their goals? When it's more about helping other people achieve their goals, there is very much a benefit in our biology that can assist us even further. The research is really quite fascinating around this. And when it comes to purpose, a lot of people say, okay, well, that's great. How do I uncover my purpose? What I suggest to people is write down three things that you need to experience on a daily or weekly basis that if you were to do consistently, you would feel in alignment, you would feel happy, and you would feel energetic. For me, it's not just about a specific activity. I mean, you can do whatever different thing there is out there in the world. But as long as you're doing those three things at the base, at the core of who you are, you're still going to be on purpose. Many people know what their purpose is. They're just simply too afraid to claim it. But when you're doing that investigation, are you in fight or flight mode, or are you in your prefrontal cortex, in your rational mind? If you're in your rational mind, what you didn't think was possible in your primal mind is suddenly possible, and you can go after it. So before people to do an exercise and ask, okay, what are the three things that I need to do on a weekly or daily basis so I can feel in alignment, I would suggest people do a meditation session and calm down their primal mind, get out of that scattered thinking, and that's really going to allow it to bubble to the surface.
If you wanted people to take away five things that are the most important that you've learned from your program, what would you say?
I would say there's the first thing is the nutrition, especially now that we're fully aware of the research that shows that nutritional deficiencies can mimic psychological disorders. The second aspect of that is food sensitivities. And this was something that I really hadn't spent much time on initially, but what I found was one of the reasons was even though I was eating an incredibly healthy diet and following the nutritionist plan, I kept getting worse. And so that was one of the questions that I had to ask myself was why. And part of that was the nutritionist had actually recommended me coconut oil. Now, for most people, coconut oil is an awesome, healthy option. For me, I have an inflammatory response to it, which I wasn't aware of at the time. So I'm consuming this coconut oil thinking, oh, this is great. I'm being super healthy. But what it was doing in my individual case was that it was causing inflammation, triggering brain fog, depression, and fatigue. The second thing for me was also the caffeine side of it. It's not that I'm allergic or sensitive to caffeine. It's coffee. That's my food sensitivity. But the important thing here is to understand everybody responds to food differently. I would recommend a food sensitivity test. In fact, one of the biggest research projects around food sensitivity is being processed already by now by the company Everlywell, who I mentioned earlier, because they've had thousands upon thousands of customers get back to them after taking the food sensitivity test and say, I removed this food. My hormones are back on track. My skin's cleared up. I'm no longer depressed. I'm no longer anxious. So they're about to do a huge research project to validate those results through scientific means. The third thing that I would say is when it comes to if someone is in defender or guardian mode or even synergist, the best thing that you can do right now is to take some natural supplements that are going to give you a little bit of a kickstart to give your brain the energy it needs, even if it's initially for a few hours a day, just to get you going. Now, the ones that I took were L-tyrosine. Now, L-tyrosine is well researched. It's found naturally in chicken. Obviously, taking a supplement dose, you get a much higher dose, and it is safe in higher doses too. I found that supplement really kicks me off in the right direction. It gave me my brain back. My memory improved. The other one, for those that are experiencing chronic stress, and this is such a huge population based on our survey results, is a supplement called ashwagandha. Ashwagandha has been found to reduce cortisol levels by 30%. Now, that's a significant reduction in cortisol. Cortisol, as we know, wreaks havoc on every aspect of our body. The second our cortisol level goes up, we're definitely in our primal-based fight-or-flight mode where we're just scattered, can't think rationally. So I take it a couple of hours before sleep, a couple of tablets, and then I also take, especially at high-stress periods of time, I'll take it upon waking up in the morning as well. And what I find is that you feel a change, and sometimes everyone responds differently to supplements. And it also depends on what triggers they're also continuing to have while they're taking a supplement. Like I say to everyone who wants to do biohacking, everyone responds differently to each supplement, to each strategy. It's about personalizing the experience for you. And you do have to go out and test it. The fourth and final thing I would say, if people are really struggling, please get to a functional doctor, get your blood panels done to see if there are any nutritional deficiencies and potentially take a food sensitivity test One of my friends was experiencing severe migraines, and these would put him in his bedroom for 2 to 3 days. We uncovered that eggs are apparently a really common trigger for migraines, which he wasn't aware of at the time, and he was consuming a lot of eggs at that period of time. Once he removed the eggs, he hasn't had a migraine attack for, I believe, 1.5 years now. That's what's really fascinating about this. Sometimes we overthink things, but it could simply be something in your diet that's just not agreeing with you.
Yeah, well, I feel like there's so much more in this book for how we can improve our overall like psychological, biochemical, spiritual health and energy. I know there's so much more that we could talk about, and maybe we'll do a second interview on this. But is there anything else that you'd like for people to know right now before we close?
And each factor built upon the next. And one of the reasons why I did it in a 90-day period is that I tried troubleshooting this problem for a couple of years, and I struggled. But the problem was, because those experiments were spaced out, I couldn't make any connection between different things. And through doing it in a 90-day period, although it certainly wouldn't come under a specific scientific study in terms of isolation, I tried to isolate as much as possible, but I realized that my asthma was connected to low vitamin D, low testosterone. I encourage people that when you're going on a journey, set yourself a 90-day mission to become unstoppable and set those deadlines for yourself. Have your friends keep you accountable and line up certain things that you're going to test within that 90 days, because you're going to get to your outcome a lot faster. You're just going to get your brain back and feel better again.
I'm so glad you're feeling better, and thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks so much to Ben for being with us today. You'll find his website at areyouunstoppable.com, and his book can be found at all major booksellers. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at founders@meditationstudioapp.com. And don't forget to check out Meditation Studio in the App Store and check out Muse at choosemuse.com. We'll see you next time.